All right, how long are we doing this podcast for? 10 minutes? Is this a 10 minute? Because yesterday was 14 minutes.
Is it? It's Dell Tech World Day 2. Day 2. Tuesday.
Tuesday. Tuesday. Tuesday.
And this is, I'm Steve McDowell.
And I'm Matt Kimball.
And we are,
Click and clack, bit and bite.
Technology analyst for more insights and strategy.
Emphasis on strategy.
Emphasis on more.
Emphasis on and.
So yesterday was all about, theme setting, stage setting, mm-hmm. a lot of VMware cloud talk, and we picked up a lot of themes. Today was a lot more product focused.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that. I was also very excited because I like walking the floor and looking at the exhibits.
Yep.
So today that opened up.
Do you like getting the swag?
Some of the swag. I got to tell you. So Micron.
Yep.
I tweeted out that my bag smells enticingly like bacon. I got a shirt that says Micron is the bacon of the data center.
Mm-hmm.
And man, people were looking at me kind of drooling in the elevator. They knew I was holding.
I'm not even going to touch that. However, it doesn't even really smell like bacon. It smells more like smoked sausage.
You're from Massachusetts. You don't know about pork. But here's what I'll say. I like their tag.
You like their what?
I don't know. So
memory, you like their tagline?
Memory and storage are like bacon, right? You gotta have it.
Not only do you gotta have it, you wanna have it.
You wanna have it. The only other swag I picked up is Intel's giving away some really nice water bottles.
How'd you get that one?
I went to the booth and got the ticket. And then you this had to be your favorite memory, right? You got to wear the Super Bowl rings from the Red Sox, Redskins.
Yeah. The Super Bowl rings from the Red Sox? Yes, I won the World. I wore the World Series rings from 2004, 2011, 2007, 2013, and 2018.
That is awesome.
And I stood next to the World Series
trophy
from 2004. It was pretty freaking awesome.
Yes, yeah, so Dell has some relationship, I guess, with the Red Sox, and they're celebrating. They had a mock-up of Fenway Park.
Yeah, EMC's always been big with Fenway, or with the Red Sox, with Fenway. They have a whole suite up top, you know, kind of like luxury suite up top, and they've done a lot with the team. So I'm not surprised, but I was surprised to see them at Dell Tech World.
And these
sure.
were actual – these were not mock-ups. They had guys from the Red Sox there that looked a little burly, making sure that
– the head of Red Sox security was there, and he wasn't the biggest guy, but he looked kind of like a badass. I'm not going to lie.
But not like bacon. There were server announcements. I didn't expect server announcements. In the pre-brief, I don't remember any server stuff being in the package, but they announced something that's
– DSS 8440 it's a big honking server. It's only a 2-socket, but it's 4U, 4U up to 24, or it has 24 DIMM slots. But the big thing about it is
what's the big thing about it?
It's 4U. But in addition to that, it holds up to 10 V100 GPUs. So the big honking
or any accelerator card if they want to use FPGAs, but the demo we saw had a bunch of Tesla GPUs.
It had 8 in it. You can stuff up to 10 in them,
and it had 10 drive slots. And this was a monster machine. So if you want to do AI ML,
yeah, monster machine. It's they said it's geared specifically for the AI world. Wonderful ML box. I think the internal storage capacity is like.
She said 8 drive bays, so whatever that translates to,
yeah.
Your favorite density.
Yeah.
But if you're doing ML, the storage on the box is largely working storage, and you're going to be attached to something on
yeah,
the network.
Yeah, right. I was just amazed though looking at the box, and I tweeted out a picture of it, and it's not only is it just beautifully designed, but the heat sinks sitting on top of the CPUs are as big as the box itself. They're probably 3U in height.
Yeah, they were high rise for sure.
Yeah, which tells me we were talking about it down there. It's probably cooling some of the air that's coming off the GPUs because you've got to do something with that much.
Oh, yeah, and you tweeted out about what's the power budget new. And
yeah.
10-jet Tesla GPU cards, it has to be a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what you hear in storage, Stevie Ray?
Oh, they did a speed bump in their mid-range. So the Unity XT got upgraded. It's now ready for NVMe.
Ooh.
And we laugh at the ready for. And one of the analysts in the – we did a Q&A with Jeff Clark, who runs the hardware business and the storage business. And he got asked about that. And he said, you know what? Ready for NVMe means – The flash stuff is still a little expensive for the mid-range, and when the prices come down, we'll be there. If you really want the flash, look at the Power Max and step up.
Yeah.
So Ready 4 really means Ready 4. It's not that it won't fit in there and that you can't buy it, but if you're going to put that kind of pricey storage in a mid-range box, don't buy the mid-range box.
Right.
That's what he was saying. What else? The high-end Power Max got upgraded as well. It now supports, it's the first vendor to support dual-ported Optane. And the importance of that is, you know, I can leverage this SSD now across two controllers. So if one fails, the other is there.
Yep.
And minimizes kind of disaster recovery I got to do. So great boxes. The surprise announcement, I think, was, and Dell is stepping up now, I think, and joining a lot of other players in the industry. They announced Dell Technology Storage as a Service. Mm-hmm. Which seamlessly, I'm doing air quotes here, bridges on-prem storage with every public cloud.
And every.
That's what they said. And then the software demo they gave, and they did this during the keynote, you know, it's got a cost estimator built into, which is, I think, you know, critical importance as we move to public cloud, because anybody who's ever touched public cloud has been surprised with charges.
Yeah.
So it optimizes and tells you where to go.
So, hey, let me ask you a question, because there was a lot of talk of this throughout yesterday and today, mm-hmm. about, and I've written about, I know it, but I haven't experienced it firsthand. You have the cost of public cloud and kind of the escalating costs. And
well, it's not escalating costs. So the public cloud guys give you the tools to manage your cost, mm-hmm. but it's easy not to use them.
Yeah.
And it's easy to make mistakes. Right. Give you an example. I was working on a project doing machine learning. And, you know, I have a small rig in my barn lab.
Your barn lab.
Yeah. But we wanted to test some storage stuff across some number of GPUs. And I had some Amazon credits from a project I'd done before. So I spun up a machine learning thing with 8 GPUs and, you know, 30 terabytes of RAM, whatever it was, mm-hmm. To do a 30-minute test. And I estimated it would cost me about $200. And I forgot to turn it off. And when I logged in, that was on a Friday. I logged in on Monday, went to my billing console because I use this AWS for other things. And it said, your estimated monthly cost is going to be $8,000. Holy crap. So, you know, it's easy to do things like that. And then when we're talking about storage in particular, the bandwidth cost in and out, right?
Yeah.
You're paying, you know, so there's a lot of accidental charges that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, that said, if you plan well and you use their tools and buy reserved instances and set up alerts and all that, it's fine, right? But I do a lot of test dev stuff, and there's no reason to do it.
One of the reasons I was asking is, as they're talking about cloud, I think it was Cloud Health that mm-hmm. they were talking about today. And I know HPE has a similar tool, and Lenovo to some degree does, but it's a tool that will look at your actual cost and forecasted cost mm-hmm. when you take a workload and put it onto Cloud A versus Cloud B versus Cloud C versus on-prem, and it will make recommendations around where that workload and that data should be located based on what those costs
see,
are.
And that's where I want somebody to step up and give me some machine learning. And I don't know. I'm surprised there's not a cloud arbitrage market, and maybe there is. I'm just not a cloud guy.
I think it's there. Well, I think it's starting to develop.
Because, you know, for example, you know, I'm involved with a startup, and to keep costs down, we purchased 2 reserved instances, which says I commit for a year to using a certain amount of CPU cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
If something happens and I don't need them, right, I could resell that, right?
Yeah.
Or where am I going with this? So, you know, there's a lot of ways to charge for cloud services.
Yeah.
And these cost estimating tools, you know, they're going to use published prices or maybe the policies you've set up. But,
yeah.
Man, there's a lot of different ways. So, you know, maybe some intelligence, you know, kind of like airline pricing to kind of dynamically.
Price line. Maybe we can get William Shatner to start.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive. Captain Kirk? Come on.
He needs to be given the keynote tomorrow, not will I ask. Will I am?
Will you are.
Will you are.
Of
the Black Eyed Peas.
The Black Eyed Peas.
A couple other things. Dell stepped up their presence in data protection. They announced this is a brand new product for them. They call it the Dell EMC Power Protect X400. And what it is, it's an appliance, and they also have a software version that manages all your backup replication to and from the cloud, supports VMware, Oracle, SQL Server, et cetera, right out of the box. That's a big step for them. I think, they have data domain line, but largely enterprises rely on a lot of third parties to manage the stuff, right? So mm-hmm. it's Veeam, Cohesity, Rubrik, Veritas, Commvault, yeah. these guys.
Yep.
Sedella's stepping right into the middle of all that.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting.
The other thing they talked about, what did they talk about?
So one
so
of
they,
the
they've combined VxRail and VxRack into just VxRail.
Yes.
And they have another brand. They didn't talk a lot about it today, but it was in the press releases. So they have the VxFlex brand
mm-hmm.
for customers who want HCI but don't want VMware.
Oh, and isn't that interesting?
That's where Nutanix will likely fall, and I don't know who else they sell.
You know, so hitting on that one in particular, you brought it to my attention. I looked it up. Fellow analyst out in the world of ours and good guy Tim Crawford tweeted last night. It looks like it's shaping up to a Dell VMware versus HPE Nutanix battle in the HCI space. And based on kind of yesterday and today, I don't disagree with them on that.
I don't either. And we're going to be out of Nutanix next week, right? So we'll give broader perspective
yeah.
when we talk about that.
Sure.
But I will say there was an article on CRN.com today, Computer Reseller News, where they went off and interviewed a bunch of solution providers who work with Dell and HPE.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, yeah, absolutely. They said what we're finding with HPE will go in there and they'll pitch a vSphere product, a VMware product, and Dell's coming in there 2 hours later and closing the deal.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
and
it's been a very consistent and strong message that it's from the Dell and VMware teams. It almost feels like VMworld here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing Pat Gelsinger as much as we're seeing
Jeff
anybody.
Clark, yeah. Or, yeah, you're right.
Right, and even a big part of the keynote today was what's going on with VMware.
Yes, yeah. It did. It felt like a VMware pitch today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, HPE to be competitive, why would they enable their competitors? And you know that there's secret sauce that's going to happen between VMware and Dell and their solutions, especially
in
VxRail and VxRack. Well, I guess there is no VxRack anymore.
With that said, I think it was Gelsinger did a demo, or he had one of his guys do a demo of Cloud Foundation, and I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but showing the ability to bring data centers, it's truly the software defined data center,
mm-hmm.
And the ability to within five clicks, it's two click updating and less than five clicks. To bringing a data center online. I mean, fully data center online, compute, storage, networking, and then you can deploy your workloads out. It's effing impressive.
So the demos are awesome. Where I get confused, and I'm always confused.
You are.
Is there are so many different product names
yeah.
around their software suites, right?
Yes.
Just give me data center management.
Yeah. You're right. It's funny because as they were going through the demos today and they were talking, I was losing track with all of the names. And we've been in this industry forever, and we've seen VMware since their infancy, and we still lose track sometimes.
Yeah, and they showed off, and they have early access for some partners. They call it the VxRail Analytical Consulting Engine, or
yes.
ACE,
yeah.
Which might be the demo you're talking about. Which actually uses machine learning in real time to drive predictive capacity forecasting, that kind of thing.
That's a different
That's
tool,
a different
but
thing.
Yeah, but yeah, that was pretty. Yeah.
All I want is it all integrated in, and this is not a Dell problem. If you go to even HPE,
mm-hmm.
where does InfoSight fit and Open whatever?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah. This is without a doubt. This is an industry wide, and we'll have the same complaint next week at.
.next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. What else do you want to talk about? There was a little bit of networking talk, not a lot. I think they're rebranding the networking gear that they sell, the Power something.
Power so, Switch.
Yeah, and I guess IBM didn't trademark Power or couldn't because, yeah.
It's hard to trademark Power.
As applies to electronics? Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about Edge, not a lot of products around Edge. They talked a lot about software-defined networking and Edge and services offerings.
This is an area where I think Dell is not as strong as they could be, and I think they have a decent portfolio. But when you look at HPE, has a very clear story and message and portfolio, product portfolio, supporting their edge strategy, right? They have their edge line servers, and they do a great job of integrating kind of the IT to OT world through NI and other vendors.
What's OT?
Operational technology. Okay. So like, you know, water treatment plants, factory floors, stuff like that with IT. Dell doesn't talk about any of that. And it makes me wonder if they're waiting for things to, you know, the whole market to kind of gather a little bit more definition before they jump in, because they are pretty pragmatic in how they approach. But it just feels like Edge is like cloud was 10 years ago. It's something everybody is talking about on the floor.
Or AI 3 years ago, or even right now.
Or right now, yeah.
Yeah. So we know we have to support it. We know there's compute out there.
Yeah.
We just don't know what it all is yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but it goes more than just boxes. It's more than just hardware.
It's not the hardware. We've had industrial computers forever. It's more about workload management, data management. And am I doing data processing before I bring it in?
Yep.
Am I doing inference? How much compute do I need? How much storage?
Yep.
And to me, right, that's where HCI is ultimately going to play. And you just kind of deploy the workload that you want for Edge.
Or HCI-like.
They didn't have it this year, but last year the Dell CTO team had demos.
Yes.
And they treated Edge as just a bunch of containers. And whatever your workload is, you push it down and you can dynamically reconfigure. Commercial client, they announced new Latitude.
Woo! Who cares about clients?
So when they got up and talked about Edge, was it Jeff Clark?
Yeah.
He said the most critical component at the Edge is the human being.
Yeah, that's so corny, but I get it.
and they talked a lot, and this is funny, they talked a lot about this has been a message everywhere, even on some of their booth messaging, right? Is it Gen Z?
Gen Z, yeah.
Gen Z is changing the way people think about the workplace.
Yeah.
And we have a Gen Z colleague, and he was angrily tweeting out this morning, quit blaming it on my generation. The workforce is evolving on its own.
Yeah.
But the reality is, right, is we're all working all the time.
Yep.
We're all connected all the time. Flex space is becoming a big deal. Working from home is becoming reality for a lot, you know, most white-collar workers.
Yep.
World's changing.
But the world has changed. When's the last time you have been connected to a phone and been doing work at 9 o'clock at night? I mean,
I was camping last week in South Carolina, I had no cell signal.
Yeah, all right. So, but think back, right? When you and I worked together back in the late 90s, we were working after hours. We may not have had a phone attached to our hips.
We were, and everybody back then was issued a CompuServe number where you could dial.
Yeah. And then when we start working together in 2006, I mean, we're connected at the hip, right? Yeah. I think, but the point is, you know, I think Clark said this, there are five generations working in the workforce today. And we all have, from baby boomers down to Gen Z, we all have different work habits and different ways we interact with devices and data. And it's trying to kind of support that entire continuum that's so interesting for IT. And
yeah. So somebody cares about Latitude. What I liked about Latitude, and I hope this technology shows up in the laptops that I actually buy, because I'm not a Latitude user.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Battery lasts 24 hours.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
They have fast charge technology. This is actually the part that lights me up. You could get to 80% charge in under an hour.
Yep.
And 30% charge in 15 minutes or something like
35
that.
35 and 15, yeah.
They also announced a new Thunderbolt dock system, which I'm hoping works on Apple.
But it won't.
It might.
It won't. Keep going.
Although, you know what Apple did? Do you have an iPhone?
I do. Yeah.
So they have the Lightning connector, right? So there's a Lightning to audio jack that I use in my car.
Yep.
And during a software update about a year and a half ago, they disabled the use of third-party adapters.
You're kidding
me.
So
it works for about 10 minutes, and then it says you have an unsupported audio interface.
You're kidding me. Hate that.
You have to go spend the $22 and buy the Apple one.
See, and I just switched to an iPhone, and I'm still not convinced it was the right move because of shit like that. I know you're going to have to beep that.
I'm not going to beep it. I'm just going to say this is not a clean podcast.
That drives me crazy, though. And by the way, why not use USB-C? Like the rest of the world.
Rumor is they will.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Thunderbolt dock, and then since we're already dirty, big ass display that won't fit in my laptop bag. I don't know that I need a 44-inch curved screen display, but that's for these gamers. At the Dell Tech Conference, they have a Alienware spot thing where they're bringing in these professional gamers and commentators, and I don't know if they're live swinging on. You're not Gen Z. You don't understand. Gaming in our day was Tetris.
It was Pong. Gaming in our day was Pong. It wasn't even Tetris. But, you know, they had one other thing, and I wish I was paying attention, but I wasn't. But it had to do with security, and it had something to do with the way the screen was. Do you remember this?
Oh, it has built-in – well, the Latitude had built-in privacy screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool because, when I was on a plane out here, I was watching a lawyer next to me, right actually kind of in front of me, write a brief. And I was fascinated. I couldn't keep looking.
Taking pictures. And the last thing I thought was pretty cool was how it if you have the screen open, it senses you coming near and powers on automatically for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So. You know what? So talk about Apple. My watch unlocks my computer.
Does it?
If my watch is unlocked.
I don't think I'm doing a Mac. And I might go back to my Pixel for what it's worth. I'm just going to throw that out there. Sorry to get all tan.
You only wanted the Mac for iMessage.
It's true. Yes. Well, because it's cool and hip, you know, I want that Apple logo.
No, I got a Dell XPS 13 on the way, but it's preloaded with Ubuntu. What else?
Breakfast was better today.
I was going to ask, but that's because we went to the cafe.
That's right. Great omelet, though. Best omelets in Vegas.
Best omelets in Vegas.
We're not sponsored by them yet.
So if Dell Catering is listening, the one downgrade from this year and other conferences is they moved the coffee out to the hallway, and then between meals it tends to disappear.
Damn you. What? Why? It's like you're paying tens of millions of dollars for this event, right?
Right.
It's probably an extra $1,000.
That's another 100 gallons of coffee.
Right. I don't understand it. Oh, it makes me want to cry.
So tomorrow, I don't think we're going to see any more product announcements, but we're going to see more messaging. You and I have a full day of one-on-ones with different Dell execs and product owners across HCI storage. I'm meeting with the AI guys. We have the keynote, which is a little more, I forget what they said the theme was, how they phrased it, but it's all about humanity, keeping with the broader theme there.
I can't wait to hear that Will You Are guy.
You're all cynical on humanity.
No, I'm not. I'm looking forward to hearing – but, you know, like I thought the guy from Westworld last year did a really good job, and Ashton Kutcher did a really good job.
Kutcher?
Whatever his name is. Kutcher in the Rye? What's his name?
Not to make this all about VMware versus Nutanix, but Nutanix has Luke Skywalker.
Do they really? Is he going to dress in character?
That's who we're going to see.
Mark Hamill, because there's – Luke Skywalker really isn't a real person.
No, Clark Kent is like – Mark Hamill.
I'm looking forward to it, actually. Do you know he did a voiceover on a cartoon?
Oh, he's a longtime voice actor.
Called The Regular Show? He's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, we're over our 10 minutes by about
one
10
last
minutes.
Bit. Did you know he was a big chain smoker, too?
I did not.
Yeah. Yeah. It made his voice very gravelly. Huh?
Are you a smoker?
I'm smoking, but I'm not a smoker.
I'm hungry.
I'm hangry.
Can we go eat?
Yeah.
All right.
See ya.
We're going to do this again tomorrow?
I can't wait, baby.
Told you not to call me baby.
Not on the podcast. See ya.
Where's the off button?